Today on the KHSU Magazine is Humboldt County District 3 Supervisor Mike Wilson. District 3 includes Arcata, Blue Lake, Manila, Freshwater, and Neyland. If you're in those areas, you don't have to vote for supervisor tomorrow, but if you're in District 5 and District 4, then you have candidates running for supervisor tomorrow in the June 5th election. Welcome, Mike Wilson.
Well, hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Always good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming back. Are you relieved that you're not in the race tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. No one enjoys these campaigns that much. I mean, there are things you do like about them. The best part is meeting the people and getting out and rechecking in with everybody, but certainly just dealing with the ads and the some of the controversies that get ginned up. It's a little bit, it can be a bit much, but it's good. I mean, local politics is where it's at. I think this is the most important piece of activism that you can do is really your local vote, and it matters the most. So people need to, if you haven't already, I know a lot of people have already voted. If you have, encourage others to do so as well. I mean, remind your friends and neighbors that this is kind of the most important thing you can do to help your community.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit off air about this and just what an impact your city council and your board of supervisors and other locally elected officials have on the way our community looks and feels.
Right. We take for granted often the environment in which we're in. We look at the streets and how our water flows and how our sewers function and everything that's sort of, especially on very much the municipal level and the sort of levels that we interact every day in, potholes or other programs or, you know, our parks and those sorts of things, the local level. I mean, those are all done by people who were elected to do those things. And decisions were made by local folks voting for local people to make those things happen. And certainly that has a great impact. So it's not just from the past, but then we have to understand we should be voting for people who share our vision for the future too. And it matters a lot. And the numbers are real clear in terms of your impact your single vote can have on an outcome. I mean, whereas we vote in important elections at the state level and certainly at the national level, and that's really important, and there's a lot that have impact on us on a day-to-day too, but those local elections can sometimes turn on single-digit votes or in tens of votes, and certainly in supervisor races can be hundreds of votes. Can really make the difference. So your vote weighs a lot. I mean, it has or can have a real impact. And so it's important for people to be there, go vote. And
that's right. Tomorrow, there's a Humboldt County election that needs your vote. And what's been interesting, just an interview, you have been paying more attention to the agendas for the Board of Supervisors meetings, and actually the Board of Supervisors, you're really kind of the management or managers of all of the county entities. You have a big hand in the hiring and firing and budgeting of all of the public services, from deputizing, you know, Blue Lake Tribal police officers to working with extension of extra help hours for roads maintenance and things like that, that, yeah, we do kind of take for granted. And it's really important when you have a budget that's being put together like you have right now, a $433 million budget or something in that area, that the people who are in charge of who's doing the work and how it's getting done and if and when it even gets done are people that share your values.
Right, right. So yeah, it's true. You know, as county supervisors, we definitely talk or have a decision-making process in terms of land use planning, in terms of our policies for how we protect our rivers. We certainly have an impact on our local road systems, transportation systems, airport, which is also part of our budgets. And of course our Department of Health and Human Services is probably one of the biggest pieces of our budget. What's interesting about that is most of that, probably over 90% of that budget is actually comes from the state, is mandated programs by the state, and we function oftentimes as basically administering state programs. And so where it might look like we spend, say, 70% or 50% of our budget on health and human services, really it's, you know, we only spend maybe 3% of our discretionary part of our budget on that particular item.
Okay.
So it's, you know, the budget looks very large. The discretionary decisions we have with some of these very larger issues is really just who we hire to manage those programs.
So you've got money coming in from the state that's allocated for health and human services.
Mm-hmm.
And then you decide how that's...
Right.
That mandate is sort of managed, and then you have a little bit of extra money to...
Never, we don't have any extra money for anything.
But. Oh. Okay. Discretionary funds. I guess discretionary funds and extra money are
right.
Not the same thing.
But certainly, yeah. And so, you know, the things that we talk about a lot are, you know, certainly the Public Works Department and the management of those day-to-day things. So, and to remind folks, you know, as the county supervisor, the jurisdiction of most of what we do is outside the cities, unless we're providing services which are human health and human health services related to, say, mental health services or homeless services. Those, you know, are administered also within the city jurisdictions as well, and some other things too. So, most of what you see and what I do has to do outside the city boundaries. And within the city boundaries, those are city council members. Also important, those elections for
Absolutely.
City councils, those will happen in November. And again, the vision of your community really comes from that. And it doesn't, it matters what happens at the national level and the state level, certainly. But in the end, we are paying taxes and resources that go to those centralized locations. And then we vote locally for our team, literally our team that is advocating for us to get those resources back here and then spend those resources in a way that it benefits our community the best. And so that's what you're voting for mostly.
Right. And people have different ideas of what benefits our community the best too.
That's right.
So.
And that's always the discussion. And oftentimes it's not that we're talking about really even very hugely different variants of what the vision might be. We're often arguing or debating really the strategy by which we get there.
Right.
Right. I mean, no one wants homelessness in our community, for instance. Oftentimes what we're discussing and debating is, well, what's the strategy by which we utilize these, you know, these resources that are meager at best in order to address the problem. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can get that on all ends of the spectrum, wanting to address that issue. And it's just a matter of, like, are you addressing it with a realistic viewpoint or a humanistic, a compassionate viewpoint or whatever. But mm-hmm. So what's the process for putting together $433 million budget? And when will you have it completed?
Well, I think the intention is to have it completed on the 26th of June. We'll have our first meeting about it tomorrow on Tuesday, and then we'll have some budget hearings on the 18th, which is next Monday. And the process generally is you look at the budget from the year before, and department heads make adjustments to that, whether they're asking for more money on certain elements or less on others. And then we review that, and the public has a chance to weigh in on the priorities about those things. And that's how it generally happens. And then we finalize a budget, which is in essence really a guidance document because it's not a legally binding contract. And certainly we make budget adjustments during the year, but it's a tracking tool so that, you know, the allocation of the money that the county manages is done in a correct and transparent way. So in this year, that the budget's about $412 million,
okay.
33, but it's okay. That's a $34 million increase from last year's budget. It's like a 9% increase. And so that comes from revenue increases from various programs or projects or grants or whatever they may be, and changes in expenditures as well. So, yeah.
Do you have any idea how that increase might be allocated?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we have probably 12 million of that is probably in capital projects. About five goes, we have an increase in our roads budget for another $5 million from the budget we already have. We have a basically 3 million of that is going into our cannabis program, budgeting for being able to manage that huge issue and planning related to that. You know, we have other capital projects, certainly our ADA, our Americans with Disabilities Act upgrades, which are being required through a mandate from the federal government. That's taking up a huge sum of those monies. We're trying to build into our general reserves so we can be prepared, our community can be more resilient in times when we have either economic downturns or disasters. You know, we've allocated $300,000 for the transfer of the airport from, you know, we've had our airport has been under the Public Works Department, and there's been a policy shift to move it out and make it its own department, so it acts more like a business rather than a part of the Public Works Department, which is similar to how most airports run. And so another $100,000 towards our affordable housing fund. So there's there's another $65,000 to that we're going to be using to help us formulate policies related to rivers, the Klamath and the Trinity and the Eel Rivers.
Right.
So that kind of stuff. Yeah. All kinds
so
of things.
$3 million for managing the cannabis permitting and $100,000 for affordable housing.
Right.
That's a pretty vast difference.
Mm-hmm.
In priorities, I would say.
Well, I mean, they're different in that we also are taking in $12 million from Measure S. So we're receiving $12 million from the taxation on cannabis currently, or estimated for this year. And in order to be able to bring in that $12 million, we have to also manage for the for those permits. And it's not just managing for bringing in income, it's also managing the environmental impacts of that industry on our community and enforcement for those that are also deciding not to be part of that regulated economy as well. So it does take quite a bit to do that. The $100,000 basically is a kickstart to a program for which we're going to start looking at affordable housing, have an affordable housing fund, and we have a new committee, which is the Homelessness and Affordable Housing Committee. So this is basically the earnest money to, you know, kickstart that and get it going. I certainly hope we consider more in the future. You know, I have talked about at least putting part of our transient occupancy tax, at least from short-term rentals, for instance, Airbnb and those sorts of things, towards our affordable housing fund, because, you know, we're taking up units for vacation rentals where we really need units for people to live, and it's a crisis for our community.
Yeah, and there's also young people who can't stay in the area because it's too expensive to live here, and so we lose a lot of our recent grads. And so there's some other specific things that I know you wanted to talk about, like the Potter Valley Eel River project.
Right. That's also on our agenda. Yeah. So there's the Potter Valley project, which is basically it's the Eel River Potter Valley project. Potter Valley is in the Russian River watershed, and the Eel River has a diversion and has for 100 years, at least about 100 years, to divert water into the Russian River watershed. And that was done ostensibly as a energy, you know, hydroelectric plant. But over the years, that, you know, the need for that and the efficiency of that has dropped dramatically, and really it's a water transfer project. And PG&E, who's been running that for a long time, is coming up for relicensing. They have to, you know, periodically relicense their projects, and in this case, they have decided not to relicense and put it up for auction. And so the county has a seat on the Eel Russian River Commission, which Estelle Fennell, our supervisor from the second district, sits on that as our representative. And so as this transfer is starting to occur, or this talk of this discussion is happening, the only entity that's really talking about it at a government level is this commission. So our board has asked Estelle to come back and to our board and give us some policy recommendations so that we can give her this policy to back her up in those discussions as representing the county. And so on our agenda is that tomorrow. And so if people are interested in the issue of the Eel River and getting our water back and taking out the dams, especially the ones that are blocking access to hundreds of miles of really great habitat for our fish species, then I recommend taking a look at that agenda item and letting us know what you think.
That's at tomorrow's meeting, right?
Yep.
After you vote or before you vote.
Yeah.
Something else that's on your radar, I mean, I don't know if it's on your agenda or not, is the Senate Bill 1029, which...
Right.
Moves the power from the Railroad Authority to a new Great Redwoods Trail Agency.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To create a trail from Humboldt, or does it go all the way up to Del Norte through Marin?
No, it's basically on the same, you know, NCRA, the North Coast Rail Authority, which has been in operation for, I would say, 20 some odd years. Basically, it's a public takeover of a private railroad that was going defunct at that time, and the folks that did that thought that they could pull together a public railroad from the Bay Area, from Marin to Humboldt County and Humboldt Bay, and that's seen a lot of challenges, and I'm certain many of us know about a lot of those challenges. And there hasn't been a train from Humboldt County or in Humboldt County in the last, we're on the 20 years since the last train has run. So a generation of has passed us by in that. And we're coming, and the North Coast Rail Authority is really coming to its end in terms of its financial ability to hold itself up. It's had a bit of success in the southern end in terms of being able to run some trains, especially where in Marin, but certainly from Sonoma County north, just nothing. It's just been a real tragedy, and certainly for years there have been many of us. I would count myself in that group who've been really pushing to make a change towards maybe potentially rail banking this. And that's a tool. It's a federal tool by which you preserve that rail right away in suspension and use it for other things until such time as a rail can return. And we have a bill, SB 1029, now sponsored by Senator Mike McGuire. Really a forward-looking a bill. I mean, it is about time. I mean, if we had proposed this bill, say, 20 years ago when the last trail or rail line went down and many people could see the writing on the wall, I mean, we would probably have a regional trail system from Blue Lake to Fortuna and beyond, and maybe down into in and through the canyon. And certainly on the other side. And so the vision now is to start really working on that and taking that real seriously. And so, again, it really does matter who you vote for. And so these are the kinds of visionary things, you know, you might want to think about when you vote. How are they going to help you move forward with projects kind of like this? And
right,
because so, yeah.
The North Coast Rail Authority are the people who are managing that are appointed by elected officials.
For instance, right.
So if you're interested in rails or trails, then who you vote for matters because they appoint people in these different positions.
That's right.
And
mm-hmm.
And potentially in the Great Redwood Trail Agency in the future.
For instance, right. And so, you know, we've been doing this a long time. So
yeah. Well, you and I have been talking for a long time, and the time is up.
All right.
Mike Wilson, thank you so much for coming in. I know you have a big board meeting tomorrow.
Yep.
Please, folks, get out and vote. Your vote matters for sure, and make sure to talk with the people you vote for about what they value, and so that you're sure that there are people that you
want,
you know,
there.
You want to manage the place you live. Mm-hmm. Okay, coming up, thanks so much, Mike.
Thanks
for listening to the KHSU Magazine.